Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Shalom, family.
Shalom.
Grace and peace. Grace and peace. Amen.
Amen. Grace and peace, family.
Ooh-wee. How's everybody doing?
Busy.
I took a little nap. Man, I just woke myself up. So I'm ready to go.
Man. Shalom, Sister Rhea.
Shalom, Queen Mary. Shalom. Shalom, family. Grace and peace.
Grace and peace, family.
Shalom, Sister Mary.
Shalom, Brother Joe. You was next. I was going to say, I thought I heard your voice. How are you guys doing?
That's fine. That was your brother, Isaiah Brown.
Oh, okay. Well, shalom, honey. Smooches.
Hey. Shalom, Brother Nakomi.
Shalom, Israel. Shalom, Yasha Allah. Shalom.
Shalom, family.
Shalom.
Hey, well, I guess I do this. Welcome to another episode of the Sounds of Living Waters of Job Israel, the Commonwealth of Israel, here on a Thursday night edition in this East Corner. Coming straight out of Peoria, Illinois, representing the spirit of meekness and truth, Bible study class. This is our one and only Isaiah Brown.
Say no more.
Give it up. Amen.
Isaiah. There you go. Okay, now we got that sauce. We were waiting for the sauce. Joe brought the sauce. He got barbecue, he got our sauce, he got all flavors. Now I'm scoped, I'm ready to go.
Amen.
That was a nice good hour nap after getting everything done today. And I would like to apologize to the people because I double checked the name of the precept I sent Sister Mary. And I might not ever use the text app, the video text app to give out a precept because it said room, but it's rule, like R-U-L-E. So the name of the precept is called Did Jesus Contradict the Enemy Rule, Not Room? That was a mistake on my part. I just went on and used the video voice app, and it type room. It's not supposed to say room. It's supposed to say woo R-U-L-E, you know. But the precept is, did Jesus contradict the enemy rule? You know, during this precept, the main focus that I believe the Father wanted to give me is to show people what the Word of God really is, right? Because you have to understand, some brothers might not want to go to New Testament because it's talking about love. The New Testament people might not want to go to the Old Testament because it's always talking about some type of anger or hate or something, you know how people get. You know what I'm saying? But the whole thing is that people honestly think the Bible is contradicting itself. So one feels more safe just dealing with the Old Testament. Another might just feel safe dealing with the New Testament. But I'm here to show you today on the Bible Blog Talk Show to the Spirit of Meekness and Charity that they both are good. You know, because the reason why I use the word contradict is because people think that the one or the other is flawed. I'm here to show you that they are not flawed. It's lack of reading, and it's also a lack of paying attention. We have to pay close attention to how God speaks. We've got to look at the situations according to the scriptures, and we have the prophets, old and new, to show us what thus said the Lord. Because remember, the book of Revelation chapter 1, the Father gave message to Jesus. Jesus gave it to the angels, and the angels revealed it to man. Let's look for that information before we try to contradict one another or think that the Lord is contradicting himself. It's impossible. It's lack of reading. That's the problem. So we're going to look at this enemy, and we're going to understand a lot of things about this enemy and why God told us in the Old Testament how you deal with the enemy, also versus how he told us how to deal with the enemy in the New Testament. It's all going to come together on this whole enemy wound. So grace and peace, family, I'm going to start with that in the Lord's Prayer. Then Brother McComey, a.k.a. Lil Israel, who did a flawless job with his precept last night, will be reading from me today. So all sisters, please cover your head, face east towards Jerusalem, if possible. And also, brothers, please face east towards Jerusalem and make sure your head is uncovered as we approach the Father. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
O God of my fathers and Lord of mercy, who has made all things with thy word, and ordained men through thy wisdom, that he should have dominion over the creatures which thou hast made, and order the world according to equity and righteousness, and execute judgment with an upright heart. Give me wisdom that sitteth by thy throne, and reject me not from among thy children, for I, thy servant and son of thy handmaid, am a feeble person and of a short time, and too young for the understanding of judgment and laws. For though a man be never so perfect among the children of men, yet if thy wisdom be not with him, he shall be nothing regarded. Thou hast chosen me to be a king of thy people, and a judge of thy sons and daughters. Thou hast commanded me to build a temple upon thy holy mount, and an altar in the city wherein thou dwellest, as resemblance of the holy tabernacle which thou hast prepared from the beginning. And wisdom was with thee, which knoweth thy works, and was present when thou madest the world, and knew what was acceptable in thy sight, and right in thy commandments. O send her out of thy holy heavens, and from the throne of thy glory, and bring present she may labor with me, that I may know what is pleasing unto thee. I have read Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 9, verses 1 through 10. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Bro, powerful scripture. Thank you for being able to pull through and read from me today, bro. Thank you. Well, as usual in the Bible Blog Talk Show, it's time for us to tell you scriptures off the shreds. As always, pure razor blaze of images. And do the grace of God to slip out that juice. You hear love, and we all humble up to the Most High God. Grace and peace, family, in case we have 80 brand new listeners tuning in today. The name of the precept is called, Did Jesus Contradict the Enemy Rule? You know? Did Jesus contradict the enemy rule? No, he did not. It's lack of reading. And hopefully, brothers and sisters, you have your pen, your pad, ready so you can write these scriptures down so when people approach you with this matter about the whole enemy thing. Because some people say, well, the Old Testament says, you supposed to say, look how David prayed against the enemy. Look at how he did this with the enemy. He prayed for the Lord and knocked the jawbone out their teeth. How he going to come in the New Testament and tell you to love your enemy when he didn't even do that with a man after his own heart in the Old Testament? During this lesson, you're going to be able to bust him out and shut him up. During this lesson, you're going to understand why he said that. But before we get started, I always have to be mindful in case we have brand new people on board. So before we get into this powerful lesson, we have to break down who gave the enemy rule. We understand it's Jesus, but just in case if you think he just showed up in the New Testament, I got to show you he's been in the Old Testament as well. So we got to break both of those things down, understand who we're dealing with, then we get into the precept. So what we're going to do first is go into the book of John chapter 1 so we can understand that Jesus Christ himself has always been with the Father since the beginning of time, before there was time, before there was light, before there was air, before anything was created or time, Jesus Christ was there. Then he was right there by the Father. So what we have to do first is go into the book of John chapter 1. Let's go to the book of John chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 1 through 3, then we're going to skip around a little bit so we know who we're dealing with. So we're in the book of John chapter 1, and we're going to pick it up at verse 1. Verses 1 through 3, Brother Nakomi, when you get it, go ahead and read, then we're going to skip.
St. John's chapter 1, starting at the 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Now stop 1 second. So in case you have any new lessons about here, you got to break this thing down. It said, in the beginning was the Word. That's one. And the Word was with God. Clear. That's two. So you have Word and you have God. And the Word was God. So you have Word, you have God, but X that Word out and put God above it because it just told you who the Word is. Clear. Two. God was with God. Go ahead and read.
Two. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
And now we just found out in verse 3, it said all things was made by him. Who? This Word, which was who? God. It said all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. So he has always been here. Let's figure out some more stuff about this guy. Let's skip down to verse 10, and we're going to read verses 10 through 14. When you get it, go ahead and read.
St. John's 1:10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not.
Did
he came
know
unto
who Jesus
his own.
Was? Nobody know who Jesus was when he came through here. Because it said he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He's always been with the Father, but we didn't know this. But go ahead and read.
11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Amen. So now we're getting somewhere. So we just found out from the book of John chapter 1, verse 1, it said in the beginning was the Word. But then you can go right to 14, and it said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Well, what's this? This is Jesus Christ himself. He was in the third heaven. He came down and became flesh of man. He's always been around. He's also a part of the Godhead of the family. So this man that came, this New Testament, got a little more power than what we think. He's always been around. Now skip down to verse 18 and we go move along.
18. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him.
So now we got all the tools we need to start to put this thing to pieces. Now we have enough information to put the pieces together, just like a puzzle. Now we can start adding things together. Because it said that this Word was God, but this Word was also made flesh. This world, the Word also created man. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He's always been around. But then it simply said in verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So now is the Bible contradicting itself, or is there more players that we need to understand that's on the field? Let's see if we can put some more sense to this. Let's go to the book of Exodus chapter 24, because it simply just said no man hath seen God, so that means absolutely no man. So let's go to the book of Exodus chapter 24. The book of Exodus chapter 24, we're going to read verses 1, then we're going to skip.
Exodus 24 and 1.
Yes, sir.
And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and the 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off.
Amen. Skip down to verse 9. We'll read 9 through 11.
9. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet as it were a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Also they saw God and did eat and drink.
Oh, so is the Bible contradicting itself, or is there another God that is among us? Because it simply said in the New Testament, no man has ever seen God. But then we turn around and go to the Old Testament, it said that they saw the God of Israel. So to make a long story short, that Word was Jesus Christ himself. The one that said what was with God was nothing but the Father. That God you have never seen was the Father. We only dealt with Jesus Christ himself. But guess who? Guess what else? You're going to get a full better depth and detail of seeing God. So let's go into the book of Exodus chapter 35. And the reason why we're going through all this is just to understand who we're dealing with, in case we have any new people listening online. And then we're going to get into the precept. I just want to show a couple more things, and then we can get into the lesson. So now let's go to the book of Exodus chapter 35. We're going to read verses 5 through 8, and then we're going to skip. If you get it broke, go ahead and read.
Exodus 35, starting at the 5. Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it an offer of the Lord, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair, and ram skins dyed red, and badger skins and shittim wood, and oil of the light, and spices for anointing oil, and for the sweet incense. Hello?
Shalom.
Hey, I'm sorry. I'm yelling and screaming, and we're not even at the right place. My phone was muted. I'm sorry. We are in the wrong spot. It was supposed to be Exodus 34. Exodus 34, verses 5 through 8. I apologize.
Exodus 34, starting at the 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children until the third and fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped.
Now, what we're dealing with right here, we could actually went up a little bit more. Excuse me, guys. I apologize on that. But basically, this is the Lord. This is Moses talking to the Lord. And the Lord allowed Moses to see the backside of his back parts. He allowed him to see his back parts, and as he went past before him, then the Lord started to proclaim the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness. Matter of fact, what we can do is let's go into Exodus chapter 33, and let's go ahead and just read. Let's go ahead and pick it up at verse 17. The book of Exodus chapter 33, verses 17.
Exodus 33, 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name.
Amen. Keep going.
And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy.
Uh-huh.
And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord
mm-hmm.
said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen.
So now this is giving us more of a 3D effect on Moses seeing the back parts of God. You know, because we already read in the book of Exodus chapter 24, it said that the elders seen God, but they seen something like a sapphire crystal. But even though that's what they saw, they still seen God. And we just read the book of Exodus chapter 35, and 34 and 33 to show us exactly what Moses is saying. But so let's go to Exodus 35, and we're going to pick up the verse 28. We're going to Exodus 34 and 28. Exodus 34 and 28. And we're going to read 28 through 35, and we're going to get up out of here.
34, 28.
Yes, sir.
And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses risked not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him.
Now, and Moses, that's enough. That we got what we needed. That's enough. That's enough. So as we can also see that Moses was so close to God, and he was seeing the back parts of God, it made his face just shone. So his face was shining because he seen the actual back parts of Almighty God to show us that there are two gods in the heads of the family. Because it said in the New Testament, no man have seen God. But when you look and break that word down, you understand that that word was also a part of God. That's the one that we dealt with. And that's the same one that came in the flesh and dwelt among men. And that's the one that came in the New Testament in the flesh. And that's the one that gave us the information on how to deal with your enemies. So we got to understand that this guy has been around for a very long time. And he just not some guy that just came out the puff of air to come tell us something that we need to do. He's always been around. That's all I wanted to get at. Sorry for the interruptions earlier. So we're just going to push this thing down a little further, and we're going to get into the precept. Now let's go into the book of Proverbs chapter 8. In the book of Proverbs chapter 8, and what we're going to do is read verses 22 through 31. And then we're going to get into this lesson. The book of Proverbs chapter 8, and we're going to pick it up at 20. We're going to pick it up at verse 22, and we're going to read verses 22 through 31. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Proverbs chapter 8, starting at 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the fountains of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men.
Amen. So we just wanted to add a little flavor to let you know about this guy right here. You know what I'm saying? Before anything was created, before you knew anything about time and space or whatever, then Jesus Christ was right there by the Father. But before his name was Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, his name was Jehovah. Because he said, Jehovah, I didn't come to him by name. But we also need to understand, too, that in the Old Testament, his name was Jehovah. In the New Testament, he came in the Father's name, and the Father's name is Jesus. So in the Old Testament, when he was dealing with his name as Jehovah, he gave a certain type of enemy rule. But when he came in the flesh, he showed us another way of the enemy rule. So what we have to do is sit down, buckle down, and let's see if we can put these two things together. So now let's get into the precept that is called, did Jesus contradict the enemy rule? So what we're going to do first is go into the New Testament, and let's see how God told us how to behave according to our enemies. So let's go into the book of Matthew chapter 5. the book of Matthew, chapter 5, and then we're going to read verses 43 through 44. The book of Matthew, chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 43 through 44.
Matthew 5:43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you.
Amen. You see? Because it said, ye have heard that it been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You know, I used to show this to a couple of these hard knock, off the block brothers, and I used to get talked about like a dog. I was called softball, Hebrew, idiots, and everything, you know, because they were so stuck on how things were done in the Old Testament. But remember, we're reading this stuff, keep it in mind. Because if you keep it in mind, you'd be able to see what's going on with this precept. But this is Jesus Christ himself telling us how we're supposed to do with our enemies. So now let's go ahead and look at this again in the book of Luke chapter 6. We're in the book of Luke chapter 6, and then we're going to pick it up at verse 27 through 29. The book of Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 29.
Luke chapter 6, 27.
Luke chapter 6, verse 27 through 29. Then we're going to skip.
But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also.
Uh-huh.
Give to every man.
So now we just add, all we're doing is just adding on now about this enemy rule. Now let's skip down to verse 35. We're going to read verses 35 through 37.
35. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful.
Amen, amen, amen. So now this is the enemy rule according to how Jesus wants us to take heed, right? So he don't want us out here bashing and beating and trying to take matters into our own hands. I simply want you to love your enemies. I want you to do good to them which hate you. I want you to bless them that curse you. I want you to pray for them which despitefully use you. This is how I want you to look at your enemies. Don't be all high and mighty against this man. You don't know what he's going through. But I'm telling you to love your enemy. This is what I want you to do. So now what we have to do is go into the book of Hebrews chapter 13. Because I grabbed it all. Let's go into the book of Hebrews chapter 13. Because we see the enemy rule. And what a lot of people need to understand is this right here. You got to keep reading. So let's go to the book of Hebrews, and then we're going to make sense into this precept. Even though I chopped it up a couple of times, but hey, praise God, you know, it's a brand new time. The book of Hebrews, chapter 8, just verse 8, and then we're going to get up out of here.
Hebrews chapter 8 or 13?
The book of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8.
Okay, 13, 8.
Amen.
Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever.
Amen. So, you know, when people even look at that too, they get so confused because look at the Old Testament and see that it's different. They get so confused because in the Old Testament, the Lord tells you, you know, the world, you know, was okay with the prayers of David and all that kind of stuff when it comes to the enemy. You know, but then we get confused on the New Testament when the Lord come back and tell you to love your enemies. You see, a lot of people have a problem with that. You know, because if they say God never changed, and the Old Testament is before the New Testament. You know what I'm saying? Well, this don't make no sense. Am I supposed to hate this man because you never change? Or I'm supposed to love him and be a hypocrite? I mean, love the enemy and be a hypocrite. We need to check some stuff out. So now let's bring the drama. Let's go into the Old Testament and let's look at the enemies. Let's look at how David was praying against his enemy. Let's go to the book of Psalms. Let's go to the book of Psalms chapter 109. The book of Psalms chapter 109. In the book of Psalms, chapter 109, we're going to read verses 1 through 9. Now, let's look at how David is praying against his enemy. Because I'm putting it this way to make it as ruthless as possible, to make it all make sense at the end. So let's just bear with me while we build this story up. We're in the book of Psalms, chapter 109, we're going to read verses 1 through 9. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Psalms 109, starting at the 1. Hold not thy peace, O God of my praise. For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are open against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They can pass me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. And they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. And when he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow.
You see, David prayed like that, but that's not how God wants us to pray, brothers and sisters. Ooh, I'm into the lesson. Let me stand up. Now, we understand some brothers and sisters. Now it's time for us to tear this thing up to shreds, right? So, you know, David coming through like, man, Lord, don't hold your peace, man. Tear him up. You know what I'm saying? They rewarded me evil for good, and I did nothing wrong to him. But if you check the New Testament, the Lord told us, even though they did this stuff to him, still love him. Right? So now what we have to do is break these two things down. So what we're going to do now is go into the book of Psalms, chapter 35. We're going to the book of Psalms, chapter 35, and then we get into nitty-gritty. The book of Psalms, chapter 35, and we're going to read verses 1 through 10.
Psalms 35 and 1. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler, and stand up for my help. Draw out also the spear, and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself into that very destruction, let him fall. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which deliverest the poor from him that is too strong for him? Yea, the poor and the needy
from him that spoileth him.
Amen. So now we gather up enough information from the New Testament and the Old Testament about the enemy rule. You know, the New Testament tells us this is how you're supposed to deal with your enemy. In the Old Testament, it was a little more rougher. Because this lesson could be a part 10 lesson. You know, I'm only showing you a couple of things, because I will be dealing with this, Lord willing, in the future. Because I honestly believe that there are levels to an enemy. Because you got to understand one thing, too. An enemy going to war is different than an enemy you go to work with. An enemy that is able to slaughter your whole household is different than one that's trying to get you fired. You have to understand that enemies come in different levels. We also got to understand, too, when you look at the Old Testament about the enemy, if you turn and look at the New Testament, if it don't make sense, it's always wise to go to the wisest man that ever lived. Everybody wants to think the Bible is contradicting itself. Everybody, you got people that just want to deal with the Old Testament saying, well, this is how things are supposed to be. And you got people that just want to deal with the New Testament saying, this is how things ought to be. We don't deal with the old because it's contradicting itself, and we don't deal with the new because it's contradicting itself. But we forget about King Solomon. King Solomon showed us perfect on how to break this matter down. So now let's go into the book of Ecclesiastes and let's allow this precept to make sense. So let's go into the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 1 through 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, big bro. And when you get it, let's make this precept make some sense.
Ecclesiastes chapter 3, starting at the 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to laugh and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace.
This is why they think the Bible is contradicting itself, because they forget about this important information that Solomon is talking about. You got to understand that there's a season for everything under the sun. And this is not talking about a literal season like winter, spring, summer, and fall. This is talking about time. This is talking about things that God allowed under the sun. I give you a time of peace. I give you a time of war. I give you a time to kill. I give you a time to win. I give you a time to be born. I give you a time of silence. I give you a time to speak. I give you a time of love. I give you a time of war. I even give you a time of hate. And I give you a time of peace. The reason why it's contradicting to people, because they don't understand that there's always a season under the sun. So when Jesus Christ came in the New Testament, he gave us our season. Y'all was in the season of love. Y'all in this season. You're not in the season of King David, because see, King David was with kings. He was a man of war. A man of war is different than the actual Joe Blow like me and yourself out in the streets. That's not our season. We have our own season. David had his. The time that David lived in, if he stepped up and did something wrong, everything falls. Your children bashed up, women ravaged, your children get slaughtered, you get hanged, every single thing up under the sun that happened to that particular family. If your enemy get a hold of you. The enemy is a little bit different in our time season. And the reason why ours is so jacked up is because we don't turn back to the law and statutes of God. And he allowed that to happen. But if you look at the times, you got to remember that there's a season for everything under the sun. You have your time to be mad. You have your time to love. You even have your time to cry. You have your time to build up. But according to the scriptures, these are seasons. David's seed was a time to kill. It was a time of war. This is a different time frame. So that's why it'd be a little different. So that's why when you go to New Testament, when the Lord said, you have heard that was said of old time, love your neighbor but hate your enemy. But I'm telling you in this season to love your enemy. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. Because that is our season. That is our time frame. It's not the same as David's. Now let's look at another season. Let's go into the book of Proverbs chapter 24. And we're going to read verses 17. Let's go to the book of Proverbs 24 and 17. So we can see how Solomon talks different than his father too. The book of Proverbs chapter 24, we're going to pick it up in verse 17. Now one verse, when you get it, go ahead and read.
Proverbs 24:17. Rejoice not when thy enemy falleth. And let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth.
Amen. So you got to understand, remember, what did King Solomon go through? That was a time of what? A season of peace. So he don't have no reason to go up and tell you to hate your enemy and do all this other kind of stuff because it's not the right season. Can you read in the Bible where Solomon girded up his sword and go fought against the Philistines and did all this kind of stuff? No. His daddy took care of all that. Because that was the time of his father's season. But after King Solomon pleased the Lord with his prayer and gave him the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, it was peace. The Lord gave him a long time of peace. So when you look at this thing, before we open up our mouth and think the Bible's contradicting one another, we need to understand that the Lord also has seasons. Just because you hear a prophet talking in a different manner, does that mean that we can? Because that might not be our time frame. That might not be our season. But as King Solomon said, there's a season under the sun. There's always a season up under the sun. But now let's look and see what happens when you break your season. When you break the season that's not given to you, let's check it out now. Now let us go into the book of 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 5. See, I might want to go up a little bit. Yeah, okay, we're just going to get to the point. Let's go in the book of 1 Kings chapter 2, and let's read verse 5. And we're going to also we just deal with this. We're going to read the book of 1 Kings chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 5 and 6. Verses 5 and 6. When you get it, go ahead and read.
1 Kings chapter 2, starting at the 5. Moreover, thou knowest also what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me, and what he did to the two captains of the host of Israel, unto Abner, the son of Ner, and unto Amasa, the son of Jethar, whom he slew and shed the blood of war in peace. and put the blood of war upon his girdle that was about his loins and in his shoes that were on his feet.
Verse 6.
Do therefore according to thy wisdom, and let not his poor head go down to the grave in peace.
Now we also see, too, what happened to Joab, one of the greatest, a great general we had. He took upon himself to do something that was not according to that season. He shed blood during the season of peace. But as you see, as King David said, don't let his gray head go down in the grave in peace. Do something to him. And David and Solomon did that. He made sure that he took that approach away from his father's house and took him out, because you was not supposed to be killing in that season. Because there's a season from all under the sun. If it was a season of peace, no matter how bitter a man you was against that matter, you're supposed to honor that season. You took somebody out during a time of peace. It was no time of war, and there was no time of killing. So we got to be careful when looking at this thing. Because another thing, too, is when I look at this enemy, we somewhat forget what an enemy can do to you, according to the Old Testament. And this is the reason why I believe, when you're looking at this enemy, that there has to be a different level of enemies. Because, like I said it before, I'll say it again, there's a difference between an enemy at work, and there's also a difference between an enemy at war. So when the Lord tells you not to rejoice of your enemy, what kind of enemy is he talking about? Let's look and see what the enemy is able to do to you, and you tell me if you rejoice or not. Let's go to the book of Esther chapter 3. The book of Esther chapter 3, and we go read verses 1 through 11. So we're in the book of Esther chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 1 through 11. Because we need to understand this enemy thing and why certain people rejoice over your enemy compared to see, well, we're going to see why people like this will rejoice over their enemy. And then you put it together. We're in the book of Esther chapter 3, and let's go ahead and pick it up at verse 1. The book of Esther chapter 3, verse 1.
Esther?
Yeah, Esther. Yeah.
After these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Then the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Now it came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand. For he had told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath, and he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. In the first month, that is the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast Pur, that is the lot, before Haman from day to day and from month to month,
to the 12th month, that is the month Adar. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the province of the kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people, neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasuries.
Uh-huh.
And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jews' enemy. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as it seemed good to thee.
Amen. Now, you see, the reason why we're reading this is because now we're reading about Haman, the enemy of the Jews, right? You know what I'm saying? And when you read this storyline, you know, he wanted to take every last one of them out. He wanted to kill them all and rob them and take everything they have, right? Now, you put yourself in that situation. If you knew that an army was coming to you to do the same thing that Haman wanted to do to the children of Israel, and the Lord delivers you away from that man and his army, who in their right mind wouldn't want to rejoice and be happy? You see, because you have to understand what kind of enemy God is talking about. You got to understand that an enemy going to war against is different than an enemy as a so-called associate or a so-called friend or whatever, or somebody that don't like you with the job. You know what I'm saying? Those are two different type of enemies. So when the Lord came through and told us, love your enemy, I don't think he was talking about an enemy like this. I honestly think that he was talking about a different type of enemy. You know, watch out for the snakes. You know, watch out for those that you know that mean you no good. Watch out for the tailbearer. Watch out for the maliciousness. Watch out for the people that's trying to use you. I honestly believe he was talking about that type of enemy you need to look out for. Not the enemy like this according to the Old Testament. Just add knowledge, just giving you some extra stuff here. Because we need to understand that there's a season up under the sun. There's always a season up under the sun. You have your season of killing and war and peace and all that kind of stuff. You have your season for that. But you also need to understand the enemy. What enemy was the Lord talking about? Was he talking about an associate, or was he talking about a man of war, according to the scriptures? So just think about that. Because this man meant business. Haman meant business. This enemy wanted to slaughter and kill everybody, right? But the Lord delivered them. They was happy and they praised God. Nothing's wrong with that. Now, let's go to the book of Exodus chapter 15. Let's read verses 1 through 14. Because the Lord delivered us again, too. And after you've been in captive, if you've been in prison for 400-something years, would you be happy and start singing and praising God if he got you out of it? Hell, Israel sung a new song. So let's go to the book of Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, and let's read the song that is sung to God for delivering them from their enemies. We're in the book of Exodus chapter 15, and we're going to read verses 1 through 14. And when you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Exodus 15, starting at the 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath trumpeted glorious. The horse and his rider hath he thrown unto the sea. The Lord is my strength in song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host have he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sink in the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, have dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, and my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praise, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina.
Amen. You know what I'm saying? Hell, shoot. Israel sung a song against the enemy. Who in their right mind wouldn't sing and praise God for delivering them from this type of enemy? So this is what I'm trying to get here, brothers and sisters. You know, I honestly believe that there are different levels of enemies. I believe that there's a certain level of enemies where God tells you to love. And there is an enemy that's out there that you might want to rejoice over if they were able to do the things that Pharaoh and Haman and the Philistines have done unto us. And if that don't convince you enough, remember King Solomon. There's a season for everything under the sun. And the things that we really pointed out was the time of kill and the time of war. To show you that the Bible is not contradicting itself, we need to understand that there's always a season under the sun. So this is what I'm trying to get at. So this is why David was asking the Lord to break the jawbone of his enemy. Because if God did not break the jawbone of his enemy, or the Lord did not deliver King David, then you can pretty much understand that that was going to be a very sad story when reading the Bible. What if Absalom came through and came up on top? He wanted to murder King David. So we need to understand that these are things under the sun. So now let's go to the last spot in the Bible. Let's go into the book of Philippians chapter 2. Book of Philippians chapter 2, and let's go ahead and read verses 12 through 16, and this will be last.
Philippians 2, starting at the 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world.
Amen. Verse 16, and we're done.
Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain.
Right, and that's the whole thing. You know, you need the Old and you need the New Testament. And like the grace of God bringing, you know, Nakomi hopping on board and really, really, really showing us as a popsicle and stuff like that. You know, there's nothing wrong with these things. But the whole thing is that we need to understand is we need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Don't listen to no man. You read it for yourself. You know, but the book said to study and show yourself approved. So before trying to chop the Bible up in half and only want to deal with the Old Testament because you believe it says certain things and don't want the New Testament, understand that that's vain and folly. It's all good. It's all good to go, and absolutely by no means do God contradict himself. Man contradicts their self. The whole thing about the enemy is that we have learned is that the first thing is that there's always a season under the sun. And who knows what season that we're in? But Jesus Christ came in the New Testament to show us the season we should be focusing on, the season of love, the season of that type of season, season of love. Y'all learn how to love one another. Stop bickering and stop fighting against one another. Quit putting your mouth on people. Stop pointing the finger. That's more for us. Because in time of David, those was ruthless and hard times. Where you can get your head chopped off by saying the wrong thing or doing the wrong thing. It's a little bit different now in our time frame. So honestly, and I also believe the enemy rule. I honestly believe that there's a level that the Lord can consider an enemy to love and also an enemy to stay the hell away from. You know, this is something brand new to the table, and I want to bring this precept about, Lord's willing, again in the future. So I hope you guys got some type of understanding out of this thing to see that the Bible did not contradict itself, but just look a little bit deeper, and maybe the Lord God of Israel can show you what he's talking about when he's dealing with the enemy. So I thank you, brothers and sisters, for your time. I hope you got to understand it in the name of Jesus. I turn things over to Brother Job and Sister Rhea, excellent reading, Brother Nakomi, and I get a mic. Thank you.
Amen. It's light.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Man, dude, you came from so many unorthodox angles, man. You would have thought you was looking at the drunken monkey technique. I'm so serious, man. You know, the way you approach this is so unorthodox. It was banana. And it was right to the point. The scriptures you chose, I hadn't viewed them like that.
Amen.
The great awakening. Man, it's one thing about when we deal with brothers and sisters and that don't believe in the New Testament, and my question is this: is that then how far are we in prophecy? Because you've got to have the Messiah being born. So when is he coming? Did he come already? Where are we at in prophecy?
Right.
According to the Old Testament, that's always my spiel back to them. Because if he came, then we're supposed to be where we at, because that means a deliverance is right around the corner.
Right.
Yeah.
If he didn't come, well, we probably another 400 or 500 years, well, another 2,000 years or whatever.
Right.
you know, this captivity could be forever if he didn't come. So I want to know, you know, what's they feel before you say that the New Testament is in anything or Christ never came. That conversation started. It started way back then, brother. You know, and cats that didn't know God was gonna get chastised, and those that came out of Pharisee sets is gonna get chastised for converting over to the doctrine and the knowledge of God in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul was a testimony of that. You know.
Right.
That's a great lesson, man. That was awesome. Thank you, bro.
Amen. All praise.
Shalom.
Hey, shalom, big bro. Great reading, bro.
Thank you. Great lesson. Great lesson. It's a great lesson, and like I'm saying, it is seasons and it is timings of how we supposed to react to things, and we got to understand what time we in and things like that. I remember when I first went to the Israelite Church of God Jesus Christ, when I was with my teacher, Kenneth Allen, we first was free speaking out here. And he told us, if someone comes, I'm saying, when we're out here teaching, that we're not supposed to fight back. He said, we all pretty strong men. You said, we often take a punch for Jesus. So he said, so we never had to do that, but he said, we better be all willing to take a punch for Jesus. We're not supposed to fight back because it's not that time. It's not that kind of threat for us to have to do something like that. So, and that's something I always teach, because I'd be around Israelites and things, and we're going to fight, and we're going to, no, I'm saying, no, it's not that time. We're not in the time for that. We're not in time. That's why even in sin, it even tells them that we're supposed to be harmless as a dove, but wise as a serpent. So you're supposed to use your mind. You're supposed to use your mind, but you said, but you harmless. I ain't going to do nothing. We ain't going to do nothing, but I am going to use my mind. I am going to be wise about all these seasons and situations. So we got to understand there are different seasons. That, yeah, if they're trying to kill all of us, if it comes to things like that, yeah, we in war, yeah, we're supposed to fight back. But in these type of things like this, no, you're not supposed to. You're supposed to understand what time it is, and we're supposed to deal with those things. So, great lesson. Just like Job, I've never seen it from this perspective. That just lets me know that you that you're doing some great studying and you got some great discerning, bro. And I always appreciate when somebody brings something new to the table. That was a great look. I yield the mic.
Amen. All praise to the Father. Well, the Lord set me in front of good men like you and yourself and Brother Job. You know, all praises. You know, one flesh.
Amen.
Amen.
Shabbat shalom.
Hey, shalom, bro. How you doing?
Hey, grace and peace, brother. How are you today?
I'm hanging on, Drew. Hanging on.
Hey, you know what? You know what? God makes all things possible. So, you know, I just want to say, you know, Shabbat shalom, grace and peace unto, you know, the children of Israel, the children of men, and the children of God as well, and those that are out here listening. Brother Keith, I want to say, hey, you know, brother, that was an excellent lesson. You know what I'm saying? The Lord made sure to add light, to shed some light onto the subject, meaning you and his chosen elect children. So, you know, I look at that, you know, continue to grow, continue to allow the Lord to water you with the knowledge in which he designed you to be. And Lord willing, that we may all get that better understanding, you know, so we can all be on one accord as a whole to be with the Father and the Son. That's like the greatest gathering, the greatest marriage that anybody could ever have, to be just one big happy family and not have to worry about suffering and fearing anything, but just to keep the Lord God first always, and he'll show you the way. He's the light, and the light is the way. And excellent reading, Brother Nehemiah. And you did a good job as well, brother. And with that, I close.
Amen. All praises, brother. Thank you for your wording. Very necessary.
Always, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
So do we have any more soldiers that would like to add on to the precept? You know, have a couple of testimonies. You know, we've been gone for a little bit, you know, now's the time. Just so everybody get used to each other again.
Amen. Amen.
Everyone's
lying. Well, I just want to say wonderful precept, brother, and it's good to hear great doctrine. You know, it's one thing to you know, hear lessons, but when you hear great doctrine, man, that's good stuff. That's hubris knowledge too. You know, that's definitely hubris knowledge, but it's on a standpoint of your cross.
Mm-hmm.
Can you bear it? You know what I mean? Are you bearing it?
Yes, sir.
You know, on that wise, can you stand the rain? You know, it's coming. He told you the storms are going to come. If your house is founded on the rock, it's going to stand. If your house is founded on sand, it's going to get washed away.
Amen.
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 So, no, that's a wonderful chapter for that book of Hubris Knowledge. It's right. That's a great. That was wonderful.
Want to tell you something else?
Yes, sir. Please.
I want to deal with this again, because there's so much that I wanted to put in there. You know, it was so much that I wanted to put in there just to show the difference. You know what I'm saying? But to the grace of God, in the future, I will be able to do that, you know. But yeah, man, you know, I get a mic with that. I could have waited for that, but you got the mic.
Hey, Jude, that was great. Man, I don't know, man. You know, short chapters or whatever, books or series or whatever, man. That book is gonna be what, a 10,000 page hardback. you keep stacking it like that, Ju.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, all the lines is open, man. If anybody have anything they like to say, or if no, then Israel, you got any closing comments?
Yeah, I sure do. Time is almost up. You know, time is almost up. You know, so I honestly believe, man, you know, I think I honestly believe that there's a time where, you know, we all need to buckle down and focus, man, and start to not what your elder teacher think you ought to do, but really sitting back and reading this Bible for yourself and find out what God wants you to do. You know, because it's just too many times, man, you're just going around life, you know, checking out other lessons, precepts, talking to people, you know. It's always good to talk to brothers and sisters who know exactly what the Father put on their heart, you know, to start that thing out, you know. And hopefully, going back into the precept, I really, really hope somebody got an understanding on this precept, you know, to understand that the Bible never contradicts itself. Or even when things does not make sense, then pray to the Father so we'll be sure to you in this Bible. And like I said it before, I'll say it again. This Bible is infinite. You will always always, eternity always, find something new in this book. Because I believe it's real, it's powerful, and it constantly keeps going. There's no such thing as putting a stop to your learning when it comes to Word of God. You know, it just makes you think about what King Solomon said and how we take that out of text. You know, when the book say too much studying is a weariness of your heart. A lot of people look at that as, you know, when you're dealing with too many books or, you know what I'm saying, or to that matter, you know what I'm saying, because you got brothers that honestly believe when they say too many books that you're dealing with too many, like the Apocrypha and all the other kind of stuff. No, it ain't talking about that. We got to understand that the Lord deal with his servants in multiple ways. Learn how to put the book down. You might have kids. You know what I'm saying? You might have a talent that deal with art, music, or whatever. Learn how to balance your life out when it comes to the Word of God. You know, brothers and sisters, learn how to balance yourself out. Ain't nothing wrong with reading the Bible. It's a beautiful thing. But learn how to put that thing down and learn how to work on your many talents that's beneficial for your salvation. So I get a mic with that, brothers and sisters, and all love.
Amen. Once again, everyone, I want to thank our brother Isaiah Brown, man, coming out of Peoria with the Spirit of Meekness and Charity Bible Study class. Definitely one food for thought, Israel. That is definitely a food for thought. Make you check yourself and see what side of the fence you on, for real. Always good. We want to thank everybody for their time. Tomorrow evening, the same time, we'll be back here at the Sounds of Living Waters. We'll be presenting the Commonwealth of Israel. That's myself, Job Israel, and Rhea Serene Israel. We'll be bringing a precept tomorrow evening. I'm in between it, so I'm not going to get the title up. But we're getting back to the women of the church on the Sabbath. And the Sunday morning breakfast brunch, well, we're going to deal with sacrifices. What is sacrifices? So, you know, that's really what we're going to get into. What is sacrifices? What do we have to do? What do that mean to us? What do the sacrifice mean to us? Well, the Lord had the priest perform the Levitical priesthood and the sacrifices for a reason. That we should learn from the sacrifices. So what is it that they mean to us? So you want to be here for that. So with all of that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time. And we hope we edify someone. And as we stay here, forgive me. Saturday evening, Yah's Global Kingdom with your brother Horace Miles. That's our Saturday evening. You want to be here for that. Dr. Miles, right at Zay.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
I'll wait for a picture of him so I can draw him. Because, you know, I already got the profiles for me, you, and Nakomi. You know, I don't want to just throw all three of us on there. You know, we got other brothers I would like to show, too. You know. So,
well,
you got to get in contact with him. Yeah, I got Paul. Yeah. You know, Paul got a lot of facial hair, so that could take more of my time. Shit. This could take about a couple of hours to get him done.
Oh, my goodness. You ain't right for that.
Well, you know.
Well, that'll be a great pick, man, for the family. That'd be a wonderful pair for the family. So, hey, like we said, you be here with our brother Isaiah Brown every Thursday night here at the Sounds of Living Waters, here with the Spirit of Meekness and Charity Bible Study class. get into the meat and the root of the book, man. That's a good dig. Great
Amen.
Precept, Israelite. Great precept. I want to thank everybody for your time. We hope we edify someone. And as we say here at the Sound of Living Waters, do what?
Read your Bible.
Read your Bible.
Amen.
God bless.
Love
you.
Shabbat shalom.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High, lost, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show.